This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
It is time for your favourite show, All About Pets, and Joy's only show, All About Pets, as well. Joining me in the studio after a few weeks off air is senior veterinarian from the Lost Dogs Home, Frank Samway's Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Alan Bolton. Alan, welcome back.
Hello, it's good to be back.
What have you been up to?
Oh, just working. We've got a couple of vets off on leave at the moment on holiday, so that always makes it really, really busy.
Busy time, and you know, the weather's getting warmer. It's spring.
Yep. And so we always get busier in spring.
Yeah, so. It's interesting. You know, we are getting busier at the shelter as well. You've sort of been able to see that after the lull.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so coming up on the show today, what are we going to be talking about?
We're going to be talking some orthopedics. So for teenagers, it can be argued that breaking a bone is somewhat of a rite of passage, with a good majority of us having a fracture, wearing a cast in our childhood years. If this was your experience, you'll know how painful it was and how much breaking or fracturing your bone impacted on your well-being and general enjoyment of life.
Now, what's interesting, I find, Alan, is that for neither of us, touch wood, have we ever had this experience?
Thank goodness.
But we both have pets that have had this experience.
So Cinder broke a little bone in her toe.
Yes, Cinder broke her toe when she was about 6 or 7 months old. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, a puppy breaking a toe is a big deal. She was just, I don't know how she did it. I think she was just playing around
just
outside
around.
And just tearing around silly, and because it was just, I got her off the couch and she started limping. I checked over it and could see that there was a definite issue there. But you had an interesting one. Pan broke his...
I hadn't had him very long, and Pan is my three-legged dog. Who had a really badly injured back leg, so it had to come off. He broke his front leg on the same side. It's about 10 years ago now. So obviously that left him with two functional legs. So he had the front leg pinned and had a cast on it. And basically we carried him around for about 8 weeks until he decided that he didn't want the cast anymore. And
so he's a bit spoilt in that respect.
He was. And it wasn't very good in the end, because it gave him really bad separation anxiety, which is something to think about if you do have to care for an animal in that way for a long period of time, because that took a lot of getting over.
Yeah, I mean, Cinder had a cast for 4 weeks, and so she would often come to work with me and just be crated for the time so that she was sort of relaxed. She did take that first cast off after 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
probably about the time it should come off for changing anyway.
Yeah, so she got a different one on, and that was an experience in itself, because previously she had a little cup which the foot sat in, and this time it was just directly on the foot, so she was in a bit more pain because of that. Mm-hmm. But we got through it. Keeping a border collie calm for 4 weeks is quite of an issue, especially when you have another dog at home as well who wants to play with her the whole time. But on Pets Allowed today, we're going to be looking at bone health in our pets and explore how orthopedic surgery has turned around the lives of some of the recent animals we've had through our shelter. Dr. Alan is in the house today, so if you have any questions about your pet health, maybe you have a specific orthopedic related question. I know this is something that Alan is quite interested in, and surgery and everything like that. Also coming up on Pets Allowed today.
Like we said, we look at ways to maintain healthy bones in your pets. And this Sunday, Errol Street in North Melbourne will be closed off to traffic for the annual Spring Fling Street Festival. We'll check in with the organiser of the popular dog show to find out how you can get involved.
We have a question that came through from Pets Allowed listener last week about a rather disturbing grooming experience for Alan in Alan's Q&A section.
And at the tail end of the program, as always, we'll have your dog dates.
This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home. You're here in studio with Kevin and Alan today. And it's time to recap the news and events of last week. Now, are you a cat person or a dog person? I think if you'd ask me, I'm a dog person. What about you, Alan?
I'm kind of both, but I don't have cats at the moment.
Okay, but you've had cats before.
I've had cats in the past.
Well,
yeah.
We recently had a bit of a Q&A segment on our website with Someone who's just recently become a cat person. Now, newlyweds Kim and Ewan always considered themselves avid dog people, having spent their childhoods growing up alongside an adorable black lab, a cheeky Staffy, and a graceful Akita. It came to deciding a new pet in their lives. Now they live in Melbourne, they live in an apartment, they thought, dog, really? Not what we can have. But they absolutely fell in love with a cat. So she'd always been a dog person, but now Kim is becoming a bit of a cat person. It was the last thing she expected, but she can't imagine life anyway. They adopted a lovely cat named Charlie. She's a little ginger and white, really playful, doesn't like to be picked up though, likes to, you know, roam around her own thing. Who's really enjoying life. There's some great pictures on our website as well, and you can check those out at dogshome.com.
Now, the Gold Coast Pet Expo was a great success. Recently, the team from National Pet Register headed up to the Gold Coast Pet Expo. The National Pet Register provides an Australia-wide pet identification and recovery service. They aim to reduce the number of lost and strayed dogs, cats, and other animals by issuing free individually numbered ID tags and recording microchip numbers on our national database. This great event saw us give out 345 free ID tags and 12 animals headed home after being microchipped, which is the most important form of ID if they ever go wandering. It was a great weekend with heaps of engraved tags being made up, checking details and microchips and making sure pet owners were keeping the details up to date. And yeah, it was a great weekend.
And a really busy weekend, the last weekend as well, with the Frankston Pets Day Out and the Williamstown Dog Day and Dogtown event. Now, Alan, you were at Frankston Pets Day Out, and unfortunately seemed to be a bit of a washout.
It was pouring down, but it was actually, despite the weather, and it was an awful, awful day. Saturday was beautiful, and then Sunday, when the expo was on, was just awful. I was amazed at how many people there were and how many dogs there were, so although it was a bit of a washout, it was still a great day.
That's good. Yeah, Kate from Pets Loud as well was down at the Williamstown Dog Day in Dogtown event as well. Same sort of deal. You know, it was a bit wet, but they quite enjoyed that as well. Now, we received a tweet in from Elliot, who says he's both a dog and a cat person. So you can always get in touch with us on Twitter, Lost Dogs Home. We're talking all things sort of orthopedic surgery, breaking bones, that kind of thing, bone health. Now, every week on Pets of the Week, we have, you know, a lovely segment, which we like to call
this week's Pet of the Week.
Now, this week is very special. We have not one, but two lovely pets looking for a new home. Alan, do you want to draw the curtains open on our first one?
The first one is Lola. She's a 5-year-old domestic short-haired cross cat. She's black and white. She's kind of, in the photograph, she looks like that nice smoky grey kind of colour, which is really attractive. Like all our cats, she's health checked, vaccinated, wormed and microchipped. She's a calm, easygoing cat who's looking for a quiet, loving forever home. She can be a little bit shy in new surroundings, so it might take her a little bit of time to come out of her shell. But once she does, she's really, really friendly. So she needs a nice, quiet home where she can sleep the day away.
Our second pet of the week is the lovely Ben. He is a Bengal cat, which means he looks a little bit like a little Bengal tiger. He's very cute. He's a bit browny colour with a few spots. He's 6 years old. He's a big, beautiful boy with a captivating personality, and he does like to talk to you a lot as well. So when you meet him, he tends to tell you all about his day, what's been happening, and that's sort of the type that Bengals are. They're actually super smart as well. They're very trainable. I've seen a Bengal go off against a border collie in a trick contest, and they pretty much did all of the same tricks.
They quite often don't get on very well with other cats as well, don't they?
Okay,
so he might be better off on his own.
Might be better off to a single cat household. Now, Ben is also at our North Melbourne shelter. You can find that online at dogshome.com, as well as all the dogs and cats looking for a new home. And his animal ID is 951-384. Coming up, we're going to start talking all things bone health and orthopedic issues. You're on Pets Lab with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. You're here with Kevin and Alan in the studio today. We are talking all things orthopedic issues and bone health with your pets. Mm-hmm. Pat is actually a guinea pig person, because we were talking about whether you're cat people or dog people. Pat is a guinea pig person. 6 years now, she's had guinea pigs. They're great pets with lots of personality.
But they are. They're very cute.
Yeah, I've had guinea pigs before as well. I have a rabbit at the moment, and she's definitely got a fair bit of personality on her as well.
I used to have a client who had a guinea pig that lived in a basket on the kitchen table.
That's interesting. And then is he allowed to just wander around the house?
On the kitchen table.
On the kitchen table.
It was most bizarre.
That's really interesting. He sort of set his own barrier. Now, every week at the Lost Dogs Home at the Frank Sandways Veterinary Clinic, we provide a wide variety of treatments and surgeries to unclaimed and abandoned dogs. dogs and cats, as well as private clients as well, to prepare them for adoption with these abandoned dogs and cats and a second chance in life. Now, Alan, you're here with me. You're from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. We wanted to ask you a few questions today about the kind of things that we see at the shelter. Now, we see many orthopaedic issues in private and shelter patients. What are some of the main ones that we do see?
Well, with orthopaedic conditions, they fall into two main groups. The first one is developmental conditions. So that's things like hip dysplasia, which affects big dogs. Elbow dysplasia is another one which affects big dogs. Little dogs get things like luxating patellas. And the second group of diseases are traumatic. So that's, you know, things like fractures, ligament injuries. Probably the commonest one in dogs is anterior cruciate ligament rupture.
I have heard of a lot of dogs, especially the active dogs doing one as well.
Yep.
Now, how can you tell... Yeah, obviously this has happened to both of us with our dogs have broken bones before. How do you tell? What are the kind of things you should be looking out for? And what can pet owners do if they suspect that their dog or cat has actually broken a bone?
Well, classically, there are four signs that you've got a broken bone. So those are pain, swelling, deformity, and crepitus, which is the kind of grinding that the ends of the bones do when they rub together, which isn't very nice. So a dog or a cat with a broken leg will definitely be in pain, and they won't be they will not be weight bearing on that leg. And even the calmest, friendliest dog, the chances are if you try to touch that area, they won't like it, and they will perhaps bite, or they'll cry.
So
they won't be happy.
They'll let you know.
And obviously, if you see an animal exhibiting that kind of symptom, the first thing you do is get it to the closest vet.
Okay. Now, Alan, when we see these animals in the shelter, what is our priority? Is the priority look at whether we can repair it, or is it to amputate that?
Look, initially, when they're strays, our priority is really just to provide first aid, because we don't have consent from the owners to do anything more than that. So basically, that generally involves pain relief and immobilizing them. So some sort of cast or splint, because if you can keep the bones stable and not moving, then you remove a lot of the pain. So that's in the first instance. And then often the injuries that we see can be quite old, and in that case it's very, very difficult to repair them, because you really need to get in there within the first few days if you're going to attempt a definitive repair. So we generally make that decision fairly soon after the animal comes in, and we'll, if we feel that we can repair it, we'll do it at that stage.
Now, what's the cost of this kind of thing as well? So, I mean, that's something obviously people will consider when it comes to what kind of surgery and everything. How much does it cost the home per operation? Now, you know, obviously we're adopting these animals out for, $300 for a puppy or a dog. If that animal has had surgery beforehand, what is the cost of that surgery?
Well, if you were to go to a specialist orthopaedic surgeon to get a plate put on a broken bone, you're probably looking somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000, maybe even more, depending on how much, you know, what needs doing. So to us, it probably costs, if we're going to repair a fracture, it probably costs somewhere in the region of $1,000 in terms of wages and drugs and disposables. If you think about it, an orthopedic screw is probably about $10. So if you use 8 and a big plate,
that's $80.
Then that's $80 just on screws.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned screws. What other kinds of equipment do we have at the Lost Dogs home at the moment?
Well, orthopedic equipment is not dissimilar to carpentry equipment.
Because it kind of, in a way, it is going and repairing something. It's just within a body.
Yes. So it's like carpentry with jam kind of thing.
If the wood was covered in jam.
So you end up, you know, we use drills, you need clamps to hold bones together and hold plates onto bones. You need pins, you've got wires, and then you've got plates and screws.
That's great. I mean, we have some x-rays. You've shown me some x-rays of some of the clamps and stuff. Hopefully we'll be able to get them up on our website soon. But just to have a look at the kind of thing that the interior,
really
what the bone looks like, when you've got a metal plate with the screws sticking in it, that kind of stuff as well. Coming up, we are going to hear from Dr. Ton, who is one of the surgeons at the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, who does a lot of that work for us. He really is interested in that kind of orthopaedic surgery, and he gets that done. You're on Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9 with Kevin and Alan, and all throughout the show today, we're looking at bone health in our pets.
At the Lost Dogs Home, we receive many lost, stray, and abandoned cats and dogs that have sustained broken or fractured bones. Many of these animals will unfortunately have been hit by a car, and some of them are left for days without medical attention before arriving at the shelter. Dr. Ton Tancharoon from our Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic conducts a majority of our orthopedic surgery that helped turn around the lives of many of these shelter animals.
Pets Lab producer Oz caught up with Dr. Ton, who starts here by going through some of the recent orthopedic patients he's had.
The most recent one was an elbow fracture in quite a small dog, less than 5 kilos. And we suspected that she had a motor vehicle accident. And it was a fracture on the ulna bone, which was quite a challenge to repair. Another one was a forearm fracture in a cat. And that one was quite a long fracture as well, a spiral fracture. And again, we thought it was because of vehicle trauma, because due to the severity of it. And we've had a run of staphes that have avulsed their tibial crest, which are parts of the chin bone. And yeah, that requires stabilization, just like a fracture as well.
So with the staphes, is this a common thing?
It is a very common thing in growing staphes, because they're so strong and hyperactive, and they of course, love to play and jump, and they tend to do a bit too much activity, mm-hmm. and yeah, it just pulls off their normal growth plate.
Mm-hmm. And so can you take us through what a procedure involves?
We do the x-rays first off when the animal comes in. Because of the issues of treating stray animals and the legalities in waiting, mm-hmm. For the owners to come forth as well, we usually do the x-rays first and just plan ahead. And once that period of a few days where we can legally treat the animals comes, we then order the specific implants and then go ahead with the surgery. So with orthopedic patients, we do give them different types of drugs for sedation and pre-medication before surgery because of the more intense pain that's involved during the surgery and afterwards. So we do use a lot of opioid-type drugs, and we do use another type of antibiotic beforehand as well, just to make sure that the antibiotic levels in their blood quite high during the surgery, just to prevent complications. After the surgery, they get quite intense pain relief as well, including non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and a combination of opioids.
And so how long does a typical surgery take?
It depends really on the type of fracture and how complicated it looks. So with the elbow surgery, that one took about an hour and a half to 2 hours, just because it had been left for quite a while. And we do suspect that the dog did have the injury for quite a few days before coming into the shelter. So the fracture was quite scarred up, and it was also not in place. So we do have to spend a bit of time getting the bones back into place and stretching the muscles to be able to do that.
You're tuned into Pets Loud on Joy 94.9, and all throughout the program today, we're looking at bone health in our pets. Currently on the line is Dr. Ton, one of our fantastic vets at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, who is telling us all about the types of orthopaedic surgeries we do that turn around the lives of shelter animals every day. I suppose it's really important to, if you're looking at operating, to do it as soon as possible.
With some orthopaedic procedures, it definitely is recommended to do it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. There is something called a golden period for orthopaedic surgeries, and it's best to do it within that period, which is pretty much as soon as possible.
It's a really good point, and I suppose when it comes to people identifying their pets and keeping their details updated so they can actually be in touch with the home when their pets are found is probably very crucial for their well-being.
Yeah, because if we do have an animal, a stray animal come in and we do identify the owners, some of them actually give us the okay to go ahead with surgery straight away, and that's the best possible outcome for the animal.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how your current patients are recovering now.
The elbow fracture, her recovery is going extremely well. She started using the leg again only after 2 days post-operation. Yeah, it's not completely normal. We still have to keep her confined. But yeah, she's doing really well and using the leg.
And how about the cat with the forearm fracture?
Cats are very interesting animals because they heal remarkably well. And that cat started using her leg only a day after the surgery.
Wow. And the staphy?
The staphies, you do have to keep them more confined. One of them had a growth plate fracture of the tibia as well as that tibial crest avulsion. So we had to cast and do a half blend for quite a few days, just to prevent from pulling out and keep those implants in place.
Dr. Ton Tancharoon from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic talking about some of the more recent cases we've had coming through the surgery with orthopaedic issues. Mm. Alan, does it happen? Do you often get people who want to go through that surgery, as Ton mentioned?
Yeah. I mean, it's quite, what happens is obviously once they reclaim the animal, then it then becomes a private client. So we can either repair it in our clinic or they can take it to their own vet or we refer them to a specialist, depending on whatever they want.
Coming up, we're going to talk about how to sort of care for your pet's bone health and joint health. This is Pets Lab with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, today on the show, you're here with Kevin and Alan. We are talking about all things pet health, pet bone health, and orthopedic surgery as well. Now, Alan, how can we sort of manage this kind of stuff? So what should we feed our dogs to maintain a good bone density and health?
So basically you need to feed them just a good quality, complete dog food. That's what we always say. It's really important when you've got growing dogs that you don't over-supplement them with calcium.
So it's especially puppies.
Yeah.
Sort of
because
up to 18
basically
months.
Kind of what you're doing is you're pushing them to grow too quickly. And if you do that, you can lead to all sorts of problems. So just good quality puppy food is all they need. And I suppose the other thing you can do with older dogs, it's probably a good idea to feed them things known as chondroprotectives. So that's things like glucosamine and chondroitin. You can talk to your vet about those and get those added in.
So kind of similar to what we would do as we were getting older, you start looking at preventative medicine as well.
Yeah, certainly. I think with the glucosamine and whatever, I don't know that it's actually been proven to scientifically to make a difference, but anecdotally lots of people say it really, really helps.
What about cats?
Cats don't tend to have as many joint problems. So I think with cats, as long as you feed them sensibly and they don't get really, really overweight, cats are incredibly well-designed animals, incredibly athletic animals.
Very lithe. Yeah, and so unless they really get hit by something.
Unless they get an injury, they don't tend to suffer so much. Although there is a thought now that arthritis in older cats is actually more prevalent than we previously thought, but they just hide it really well. So,
but one way that they can't hide it is the grooming factor, because cats tend to groom themselves, so they start to get a bit matty on the back, isn't it? That's sort of a sign, because they're not being able to reach around anymore. They're in pain.
And often they're not so good at jumping up on things.
Yeah. Now, what kind of exercise sort of stuff that, you know, encourages really good bone health?
You just want steady, regular exercise, kind of the same amount every day. We see lots of dogs getting injured sort of in spring and early summer this time of year because people suddenly start exercising them much more all of a sudden.
Absolutely.
They go
after
out
the
in
winter.
Good weather and get injured. So if they do get injured, swimming's a really good way of, you know, exercising them, or if they're...
So it's kind of like hydrotherapy, isn't it? There's a lot of places that do that.
But it's exercising your muscles without them weight-bearing.
Yeah. Now, you sort of mentioned bone and joint-related injuries coming from exercise as well, from exercising too quickly. Mm-hmm. What kind of breeds? Are there any sort of breeds of dogs or cats that are more susceptible to this kind of thing? So the active breeds?
Definitely large breeds are much more prone to things like hip dysplasia and arthritis generally.
So they're the genetic ones that you were talking about earlier.
And elbow dysplasia as well. So certainly dogs with elbow dysplasia will end up really arthritic by the age of 18 months, 2 years sometimes.
Can you just explain what dysplasia means?
Dysplasia means just it doesn't develop properly.
Right.
So in the case of elbows and hips, it means that the bones don't fit together properly.
Okay.
So there's roughness and...
So they kind of grind against each other?
Is that kind of thing? And so you end up with a lot of arthritis, which is where... is just the joint is damaged.
Yeah. And what about little dogs?
Little dogs, probably the commonest thing in little dogs is luxating patellas, which a lot of them are fine with. It's really mild and it doesn't cause a problem. But really commonly, we will repair them before they go up for adoption. I mean, we might do one or two a week easily.
For our listeners' benefit, what is a luxating patella?
It's where the kneecap slips in and out, so into the medial, the inside of the leg. And so if that keeps happening, it gradually wears all the nice cartilage off the back of the kneecap and off the groove on the medial side of the knee. So you get bone rubbing against bone.
So is that more prevalent on the back legs, front legs?
It's always back legs.
Always back legs. Kneecap. Do they have kneecaps in the front?
Nope. Front legs are like arms.
Learn something new every day. How can we prevent these kind of injuries from occurring? What are some of the ways?
Well, most of those, I mean, with those, it's really breeding, you know, and sensible breeding. And there are schemes run to try and get rid of these diseases.
Yeah.
I think sensible exercise in other dogs, it's really important that you don't let your dog get overweight and that you especially build up to strenuous exercise gradually. And that way you should be okay.
Now, coming up, we are going to be talking to Raphael Eastwood, who is the dog show coordinator at the Spring Fling Festival this weekend. This is Pets Lab with the Lost Dogs Home and Joy, 94.9. Block out this Sunday on your pooch's social calendar as the Spring Fling Street Festival in North Melbourne is back for another year.
That's right. The historic Errol Street will be closed from traffic from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And will transform into a hub of activity with a number of stages featuring live shows and all sorts of stalls. Arguably, the highlight of the festival is the Courthouse Hotel dog show at the community stage from 3 o'clock.
Now, joining us on the line on Pets Aloud today to tell us more about the dog show is the coordinator, Raphael Eastwood. Thank you for coming on the program today, Raphael.
No problem.
Welcome to Pets Aloud.
Thank you.
Now, Raphael, just to be honest, you must have one of the best jobs in the world, coordinating a dog show. Tell us a bit about what you do.
Well, it is a lot of fun. I got to decide on the categories.
Yep.
The running order. I drafted the poster, then I identified potential sponsors and then started contacting them.
Excellent. Now tell us, you said you chose the categories. What are the categories this year?
So this year we have best costume, waggiest tail, most obedient, best lookalike, best dog trick, most adorable kids category, and then there's the overall winner, best in show.
So the kids category, most adorable, tell us, you know, is that just about the dogs or?
Well, technically, yes. but cute kids, always helpful.
Now, have you been involved with the Spring Fling a couple of times or is this your first year?
No, this is my first year, but I did hear last year best costume was a great highlight. They even had a three-headed dog.
Wow, so that would have been an interesting one. So what are you looking forward to most this year?
I also heard last year best lookalike, so comparing dogs and how they look, how similarly they look to their owners.
Okay, so there should be some interesting ones this year. Now, one of I've got Alan in the studio who's from the Frank Sunway Veterinary Clinic, and one of his colleagues, Caroline, is going to be on the judging panel. What do you reckon the judges are going to be looking out for?
Well, I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But well-behaved dogs, obviously, and everyone loves a cute dog.
Yeah, everyone does love a cute dog. And what about, so if people want to get involved with the dog show at the Spring Fling Festival, can you tell us how can they get registered?
Yeah, so turn up on the day. Registration opens at 11 a.m.
Yep.
And then it closes at 2 p.m. and the show starts at 3.
Okay. And can you tell us what are some of the other things happening at the Spring Fling Festival?
Sure. Before the dog show, we have a demonstration of well-behaved dogs by the pet therapy dogs.
Yep.
And then some of the other aspects of the festival, we have an urban pop-up forest. You can design bicycle baskets.
Okay.
Front. There's also a tell your story with a photo booth.
Yep.
Go and have your photo taken and then write your story.
Sounds like it's going to be a good day. Now, it's coming up this weekend, isn't it, on Sunday?
It is this Sunday.
And at Errol Street. Do you have a website there people can find out more information?
Yes, they can head to the centre's website,
yep.
Which is centre.org.au/springfling.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the program today, Raphael. Hopefully you get lots of gorgeous dogs down there on the weekend.
Hopefully. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Thank you very much. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Bye.
Right, bye.
That was Spring Fling Dog Show coordinator Raphael Eastwood giving us a lowdown on the popular dog show kicking off at the community stage from 3 p.m. this Sunday at the Spring Fling Festival.
And as we mentioned, our Dr. Caroline Cook will be on the judging panel and she'll be able to answer any pet health related questions you have during the show. If you're interested in finding out about the Lost Dogs Home and our services, including adopting from the home, head over to our stall, which will be located directly across from the North Melbourne Library.
And while you're in North Melbourne, why not, before you go to the Spring Fling Festival, come on down to our shelter at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne, and meet our adoption candidates. Now, we are open to 12:30 on weekends. ends on the Sunday, I should say, which is when it is going to be. But yeah, as we said, for more information on the Spring Fling Street Festival, check out our webpage, dogshome.com. There's a news article there. Or you can check out the event website at centre.org.au/springfling. This is Pets Allowed with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout the program today, we have been talking about orthopaedic and bone health. It is 7 minutes to one, which means it's almost time for Katie to return with Katie's Cut Lunch. But coming up, we had a question last week from Nick. Now, Nick wrote into the show saying, love the show. What can you do about a young dog whose personality has gone from cocky, active, fun and confident to shivering, timid, afraid and elusive following grooming? Raya is a Maltese Shih Tzu cross, 10 months old and loved greatly by her daddies. Now, we did respond to him, but we thought we'd talk about that because there's a kind of interesting thing that has kind of happened, Alan, that we're a bit confused. What do you think when you hear that kind of thing that a behaviour issue would be?
I think, well, first of all, I suppose if it's the first time she's been to the groomer, it could be quite an overwhelming experience. And so it's a good idea to get her used to being groomed at home, maybe get her used to some clippers as well, just so that it isn't quite so overwhelming. If she didn't like being left at the groomers, and it's a strange environment, it's a good idea to try and socialise dogs as much as possible. So get them out to all sorts of different environments, get all sorts of different people handling them, and make it a positive experience. It's a really good idea to go to puppy training. Just again, they can meet lots of people and lots of dogs. If she really doesn't like the groomers, it might be an idea getting one to come and visit. That way, if you get one of the mobile ones, you can be around in case there are any problems. Because sometimes things do happen when dogs freak out.
Now, Nick did write back to us after we responded, and he said that cutting off the whiskers to skin level might have been an issue. But Alan, you and I are sort of thinking about this going, we've seen dogs that have been groomed down to skin level before, especially with whiskers, because you especially get those like the poodles.
Like poodles where they do it all the time.
And all that kind of thing. And it doesn't seem to have that effect. It might be just because she's so young, maybe. Mm-hmm.
If it's done from their tiny babies, they get used to it. So, I mean, they're definitely important, whiskers, and dogs use them to sense things, so especially around food and that kind of thing. I don't think they're quite as sensitive as cats, where cats kind of use
cats
much
definitely
more to
use
measure things.
Orientation.
But certainly, you know, it certainly could be an issue.
Yeah, and it is kind of, you know, can I fit my head in here? Type of thing. Yeah, thank you for that, Alan. Now, if you have a question, you can email lostdogshome@joy.org.au or contact us via social media. You can find all that information on our the Joy program page on joy.org.au. It's almost the time to finish up with Pets Allowed, but not before we cover dog dates. Now, coming up on Sunday, the 27th of October, is the Nillumbuk Pet Expo Companion Animal Microchipping Day at Diamond Creek between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. $25 for microchipping. And bookings close Friday, 25th of October at 3 p.m. Also coming up, events in November.
Sunbury Rotary Club Family Craft Market. Again, it's a companion animal microchipping day. At the Neighbourhood House and Community Centre, Elizabeth Drive, Sunbury. It's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, $25 for a microchip. And bookings close Friday the 1st of November. And that is on Saturday the 2nd of November.
Also coming up Sunday the 10th of November is the Bayside Pet Expo in Sandringham. Microchipping will be between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. $25 prepaid. And bookings close on Friday the 8th of November at 3 p.m. Now, you can book all of those and see all the National Pet Register microchipping events coming up on the Pet Register website, petregister.com.au. If you have any events, you can just contact us via our Joy profile page and get those to us. Now, Alan, can we just recap the pets of the week? Your first one was Lola.
So the first one was Lola, our kind of dark grey and white 5-year-old female domestic shorthair. Her ID number is 950284.
We also had Ben, who is a Bengal cross. He's 6-year-old. He's 951384. They are both at our North Melbourne shelter. Find them on our website, dogshome.com. If you missed the show today, don't worry. Or if you missed any other show from the Lost Dogs Home, you can check out our Joy program page, joy.org.au/petsallowed, for our podcast. Thank you to Alan for joining me in the studio, and for Dr. Ton from the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. Thank you to listeners and for Oz for producing the show as well. And as always, don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
It's been Pets Allowed.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.